Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Hello again on Circles of Change in our final half an hour of a great Saturday two-hour show. I'd like to welcome on the line. I've called both to the East Coast and to the West Coast. So Jill and Steve Morris, welcome to Circles of Change.
Thank you, Zara.
Hi, Zara. Nice to talk to you. Thanks for having us on.
You bet. In fact, I should also start the show. I understand Shannon picked up on the cue that happy birthday, Steve.
Thank you very much.
You're very good. You're celebrating again the anniversary of your 29th birthday, right?
28.
There you go. Okay, we'll take it. Let me offer a brief introduction. Jill and Steve Morris are the co-founders of ChoiceWorks, a corporate training, coaching, and assessment firm that provides customized services to clients throughout the world. Both are certified in choice theory, which we'll hear about today, I'm sure, the reality therapy, and lead management from the William Glasser Institute. A social sociologist from an anthropologist from her university training in Australia, Jill has over 25 years of experience in managing, training, and influencing a wide range of people in a variety of businesses and professions. She excels as a corporate trainer, coach, speaker, and writer, and is known for her extensive work in accountability, leadership, and employee self-evaluation. In addition to company consulting, she offers an intensive 3-day interactive mastery and leadership workshop for individuals 3 times a year so they can focus on their own personal journeys. Now, Steve, with 40 years of business expertise as a leader, owner, and an active investor, Steve has led people in such diverse fields as private equity investing, turnarounds, television production, industrial equipment, apparel manufacturing, exporting, and publishing. Now, as a strategy consultant, business coach, and talent selection specialist, Steve provides help to interpret people's behaviors, thinkings, feelings, motivations, and decision-making priorities. Clients thus can discover unrecognized strengths and make changes in their thinking, behaviors, and actions to increase their performance, as well as how to surround themselves with more effective people. The ChoiceWorks group and their individual processes help thus motivate people at every level to lead themselves and take full ownership in real-time issues for desired outcomes and results. And in fact, our topic today is probably going to emanate around Jill and Steve's 2003 book called Leadership Simple, Leading People to Lead Themselves. So take a deep breath, Zara. Thank you again for joining us.
So, pleasure to be here.
You know, when I encounter people with so many phenomenally deep and rich and extensive experiences like the two of you, the first question I want to say is not why did you write your book, but possibly how did you write it, because you've got so much. How did you choose to the focal point of your endeavor?
Well, it was a long process. We actually started that book 5 years before its publication.
Okay.
And we ended up with a book that was about 300 or 400 pages, and then decided it was far too long and too general. So we started another book, and that book also got too long. So over a 5-year period, we honed our vision for what we wanted to communicate and narrowed it down. Jill and I together, me doing a lot of the writing, Jill sharing her ideas and her experiences, and we came down to 100 pages that encapsulated what we really wanted people to know about leading people to lead themselves.
And Jill, the title of the book, because I think you're right, how could you publish a book called Leadership Simple if it was 500 pages, right?
Good point. Well, the book is it really gets at the heart of the essence of our work, which is self-evaluation. So we get people at all levels of an organization to ask the question, what do I want? What am I doing to get it? Instead of what do I want? What are you doing to get it for me?
Yeah.
So that's what we mean by leading people to start asking themselves, if I want to have better meetings, if I want to have people follow processes, if I want to work more collaboratively across functions, why am I waiting for the CEO, the CFO, or the VP, or someone else?
Or my coworkers,
yeah. Exactly. Or when my coworkers start doing it, then I'll start. What can you do today to start moving forward with what you would like to have achieve and really, you know, lead by example versus waiting to be told what to do? So that the book shares the model and the questioning strategy and applies it in having more effective meetings, building bridges across siloed departments and levels. And people take our book and make their own checklist and go out and make improvements immediately. And it also helps people who have some mastery in this arena to start validating what they're doing well and add to what they're already, you know, accomplishing and the skills they already have.
Well, I think, again, too, your subtitle is also about, not that we don't love as consultants sticking with our clients for a long, long time, but truthfully, our job should be to lead from behind so that others can step forward and in a sustainable way shift what they're doing. So the idea of leading people to lead themselves is not unlike that Peace Corps concept where you really want to teach them to fish, not just provide the fish.
Ultimately, Zara, I think we want people to be accountable.
Yes,
accountability comes from a lot of different areas in a business. So it's first generated by the leaders themselves modeling accountability and what that means while they drive it down into the organization. And driving it down means getting people to be engaged and having them buy into the idea that they are as accountable for the overall results of an organization as the leaders are, at least at their level of contribution.
And do you find that there are certain sections of organizations that benefit from your approach more than others, or is there a certain time in the dealing with a crisis or a problem, or is it more when the organization's stable? I mean, do your methodologies kind of equally play wherever, whenever, whomever?
Pretty much, yeah. The technology can apply to anybody at any level at any time. Our work works best when an organization has a clear business case for why we're going to make this change
exactly.
That we can then support. Here's what you're accountable for. So one of the unique things about ChoiceWorks approach is we tie all of our solutions and the structure and so on of our programs, whether it's coaching, training, consulting, or interventions, we structure it all around a specific business need, and that engages people, and then we lead them to see what's your part in this. We talk a lot about what's mine, what's yours, and what's ours, and how am I doing in taking care of what's mine, helping you take care of what's yours, and participating in the things that we all own but no one controls. And then our programs model what we teach. So when you said teaching people to fish rather than giving them the fish, we put in our, like if we're leading a training program or if we're helping people develop more high-performing meetings, we recommend things, we may start implementing them, and then we start getting the team to do the implementation themselves. And we do have we're there a long time because we usually change the culture. It takes 3 to 4 years to get a culture of accountability. So we help them start doing it with us versus us doing it for them. And that's partially why it's so effective and so quickly.
Steve, could you speak briefly to our listeners here about the model that you talk about for Leadership Simple, your model of reality, the kind of triangle of choice?
Yes, this is a model that was originally developed by Dr. William Glasser and an engineer named William Powers, originally called control theory.
Which we engineers would call it that, yes.
Yes.
I can be self-effacing for that, yes.
But we've revised the model to be more applicable to the business world.
Yes.
We start off with the idea that everything is driven by what we want. We are wanting machines. From morning till night, we start off wanting things anywhere from turning off the alarm clock to scratching an itch because you know, we want the itch to go away. So we're highly motivated by what we want. And we're constantly comparing what we want to what we perceive we have.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and our perceptions are all different. No two people have exactly the same perceptions. So our wants and our perceptions are very subjective. When there is a difference between what we perceive we have and what we want, and the gap between the two is important to us, we choose a behavior, either subconsciously or consciously, to close that gap between what we have and what we want. Now, our behaviors are not always well chosen, so sometimes we make a mistake about what we choose. Sometimes our perceptions are not clear. Sometimes we want more than what we're capable of handling. So
you're coming. If I can just insert here, this idea of you're making that choice either consciously or subconsciously is not some of our biggest challenges to manage all those voices that are in our subconscious, such as when we messed it up one other time. So no, you don't want to go there. Or in reaction to perhaps how we were treated by someone that kind of looks like the individual we're dealing with now, when in essence it's a very different dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
So all those tapes we bring with us into that choice process.
Yeah, and that's what we attempt to help people find a creative and respectful way with them, mm-hmm. each other and within themselves to start looking at those thoughts and that drive the feelings and then the outward actions that are either effective or not effective for them.
So the third step is to really say, is it working?
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. One of the common things we say is, how's that working for you? So how is sitting here looking at all the negative things about the other person in the mm-hmm. department working for you to get that happy, collaborative environment you're looking for? You know, what's your part in that? So that totally
By the way, applies. We call these three components the triangle of choice mm-hmm. because you have choices in each of those areas of what you want, what you perceive, and the behavior you use.
Very interesting. Maybe you could, I don't know, let's have fun. How about a role play to show this model in action? Can I put you two up to that?
Sure.
All right. Yeah. You mentioned earlier, Jill, having productive meetings. I think that's safe enough topic that we all know we need more help in. So how about you, at least I know I do, that you could help us maybe role play that one between the two of you.
Okay.
Oh, great.
Would you like to start, Steve?
Yeah, that works for me. Jill, you know, I was in Fran's meeting the other day, and I was really disturbed about the way she ran that meeting.
Mm-hmm. So what were you hoping to accomplish in that meeting? What were you hoping would happen in that meeting?
Well, I hoped that we would get to the point and that we would create some results out of the meeting.
Mm-hmm. So it's important to you that a meeting create results and be focused. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes, that's what I want. And, you know, I wasn't getting that in mm-hmm. this meeting. It was Fran's meeting, and I just wasn't getting it.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like when you're in the meeting, you're thinking it's Fran's meeting. So all the quality of the meeting is up to Fran. Am I hearing you right?
Well, she called the meeting, and it was her agenda.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Uh-huh.
So
yeah.
Given you were wanting that meeting to be successful, what are some things you tried besides waiting for Fran to do it to get that meeting to be effective?
Well, I shared my point of view, you know, mm-hmm. what was important to me, mm-hmm. and, you know, I tried to move the meeting in the direction that I wanted it to go, but mm-hmm. there were other people there, too, who were contributing and also kind of led the meeting off.
Mm-hmm. So you shared your point of view. Did that keep the meeting on track and move in the direction of the results you were hoping to accomplish?
No.
No,
I don't think so. I didn't get what I wanted. No.
Okay. When other people were sharing, did you do anything there that would help the meeting stay on track and move forward in the direction you wanted it to go?
Well, most of the time I listened to them.
Mm-hmm. Did listening help you help the meeting have the results you were looking for?
Actually, not really.
Okay. So we can't really do much about that meeting, but are you thinking of things you could do in the future when you're in a meeting and it's not going the direction you want it to go, what you could do to make it a little better? Is there anything you can learn from that meeting that you could apply in the future?
Well, I could talk to Fran in advance and, you know, try to influence her to have a more organized meeting and maybe get to the results quicker. She mm-hmm. just rambles on and on.
Mm-hmm. Do you think in Fran's ideal world, she would like to have a productive meeting that gets results, including that she may ramble sometimes?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, so it sounds like you have some alignment there. So if you went and talked to her, you could have some success.
It's possible. Mm-hmm. Although I've tried to influence her in the past, but she doesn't seem to take action based mm-hmm. on what I've asked her.
Okay, so if you followed your plan to, you know, that you could go talk to her about the meeting, is there anything you could do there that would help her take more effective action and help yourself take more effective action?
Well, I could contribute more in the meeting. That's a possibility. I tend to say what I have to say, and then I wait for others to respond, but I don't really contribute that much. I'm really focused on what I need from the meeting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I notice about meetings. People share their points of view like weather reports, and then they just die in the middle of the room. Nobody ever does anything with their own or with others. Do you have any ideas on how you could lead what you say to be more productive and more action-oriented? Or would you like some suggestions?
Well, maybe you could suggest something.
All right. So I'd like to make a couple of distinctions about language first. One is you can make statements, which is what you're telling me. You make statements about your point of view. So sometimes you can lead action by asking a question. So if you put out a suggestion, you can then say, does anybody like that idea? What do you think of it? And draw others out. And then if they like it, you can start moving in the direction of making an agreement about some action you could take, so that each communication topic ends with an action. So we're going to go find more information. We're going to do an analysis. You and I will meet offline, and we'll make a plan for what to present at the next meeting. So that you make sure that all your communications that you introduce in the topic you're trying to deal with ends with some next step action. And that action could be, we're not going to do it. We've made a decision that this is a good idea, but it's not something we're going to act on now. Does that sound helpful, Steve?
Yeah, that's something I could do.
Mm-hmm. Anything else you're thinking you could do in a meeting to have the results you want and to keep it on track?
Well, I think I'm doing pretty much everything already I could do. I've tried many things, but your suggestion is one I will implement.
Okay. I have one other suggestion for you.
Thank you.
One of the other things we can take effective control of is how we think about things. So when you first started talking, one of the thoughts you have is that it's Fran's meeting. So I'd like to challenge that thinking a little bit. Is that all right with you?
Sure.
So what I'd like you to do is think a moment. If you thought that was your meeting, she's leading it, but you're also a co-owner in the quality of that meeting, would that change your participation?
Yeah, but I don't quite get that. What do you mean that I'm a co-owner of it? She organized it. It's a meeting that she wanted to have. I'm not quite sure what you mean by that.
Okay.
I'm a
so if a meeting has if you go to a high quality meeting, a meeting that people walk out and go say that was a great meeting, was it only one person who made that meeting great?
Not usually. People are participating pretty actively in the best meetings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and usually they have an attitude that they have some ownership in the quality. They don't own the organization of it. They may not own the agenda. They may not be the persons bringing all the preparatory information. But in terms of the quality of while they're there and that things stay on track and the timing is kept and it ends in some kind of with closure, anyone in the meeting can do that activity.
I guess so. I never thought of it that way.
Mm-hmm. So now that you're thinking about it, what are you thinking you could do?
Well, I'm thinking that I could intervene at times and suggest that we do some different things to make the meeting more effectively while we're in the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
That might work.
Yeah.
By changing my attitude, I might start looking at the meeting earlier on and be prepared when I come to meetings. Usually I get some information pretty late and I don't get very much chance to look at it before the meeting, so I'm always trying to catch up, and I think most of us are that way.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe being a little bit more prepared, I could add more to the meeting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds like a great idea. Another thing you could do is be sure you prepare yourself. So you could ask the question, what do I want out of the meeting? What will I count on myself for to make sure that we accomplish it? Because you can't really control what other people do. You can't control what friends does and the other participants in the meeting, but you can control yourself. Is that true?
Yes.
That's very good. Well, if I can close right here, this is fabulous, because what a nice place for us to bridge. Jill, your comment that you can count on yourself, that really mm-hmm. takes us back to that word count in amongst the word accountability.
That's what we mean.
That's what you mean. And in
That's
fact,
what we mean, yeah.
Very subtle for our listeners who stuck with us through your segment there, that this idea of you shifted Steve to really, really focus on his own behavior in all of this,
mm-hmm.
not just the dynamic that was going on or Fran's role.
Yes. So one of the key points of our model, and most times in work, people depend on other people to get what they need done.
Absolutely.
We can't get it done all by ourselves. But so when they get frustrated, they have all their attention on what the other person is doing and reading the motives of and trying to analyze the other person, which means in terms of driving a car, that means I'm driving my car, a snowstorm starts, and now I start analyzing the driver in the other car, which is only going to lead my car to crash. So what we do is try to teach people to pay attention to what's going on around you, but take effective control of what you can control, which is your own thinking and your own actions, and start asking yourself, how is what am I thinking doing helping? Well, how is what I'm doing helping, not how is what they're doing not helping me?
Now, I'm sure if we'd had the chance to take your role play with Steve to the next level, we would have not just talked about what else can you do, but really then what will you do mm-hmm. and by when, right? That whole accountable and outcome driven.
Yes.
Fascinating. Well, we'd mentioned just real quick before we lose some time, I know you've used this technique and approach in multiple organizations and industries and also in cultures. Does it play out differently depending on the culture of the people, meaning the national nature of it all, parts of the world?
I can speak to that. I'm just on site in a company in the Midwest, and it does play out differently in different cultures. Some cultures we move into, they're very adversarial in their approach to themselves. They're very siloed.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the first things we have to do, and sometimes they're a little bit harder to get moving, and they always get moving, but it's a little bit harder because they've built up so many barriers. So our focus is a lot more on, it takes a little longer, and we have to focus more on breaking down barriers. Where a company where people have basic integrity and a respectful culture, they move very quickly because it's easy to return them to their own integrity, and they don't have all these negative preconceived ideas.
Yeah.
So that's one thing, just the basic behavior in the culture. The other one, does the company have robust processes and systems, and are people already pretty knowledgeable about the objectives, the direction, the initiatives of the organization, and pretty much, you know, come to meetings on time, know that they have to keep their agreements? We can move faster than if they have loosey-goosey processes and systems and things are all done relationally.
Exactly,
so,
yeah.
Those organizations take longer to stabilize what we call an agreement-based culture than those organizations that have already got that built into their
psyche,
their
very
company
good.
Already.
Well, excellent. Well, it's been a real pleasure to host the two of you here on the show. Again, I've had Jill and Steve Morris, and happy birthday again to Steve, and featuring their work from ChoiceWorks, as well as their book, Leadership Simple, Leading People to Lead Themselves. Thanks a lot for joining us here on Circles of Change.
Thank you, Zara, for having us.
Great,
you,
real pleasure. Have a great Saturday.
You too.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.